We are in a series, a continuing series, and it's interesting, when you go through a series in the Bible, sometimes you have these little sections that pop in there, and yes, they fit, but you just kind of say, wow, that's kind of an interesting thought right in the middle of a series. The series is entitled Lessons for Leadership, and we have been looking at the life of Saul as Saul begins to become the king, the nation's leader. And in fact, we're at that point, but a couple weeks ago, we looked at just the nation of Israel, and we saw them looking at other nations and adopting what other nations were doing, and there was a problem with that. The problem was the timing of that. And so what we learned that every leader needs to know is that it's okay to look around, but make sure you evaluate, make sure you got God's heart on what other people are doing. And in the case here, we're looking at unbelievers. And in that case, we should be very careful to not do what they're doing. That was the first week. And then we looked at how God calls people. And that was interesting as we looked at Saul chase around a bunch of what? Bunch of donkeys. Remember that? The donkeys. El burro sabe más que tú. The donkey knows more than you. And so it kind of fits in there. They're trying to find these donkeys, but God is actually at work through what? Circumstances, directing and guiding them. God is at work through spiritual leaders, Samuel. And God is at work through events and happenings that take place. Saul, at that point, becomes the king. Now, he doesn't have anything established yet. In fact, he goes home and he's what? He's plowing with oxen, when we picked up last week. And he's plowing with oxen, and his first crisis comes. There's a group of people invading one corner of his empire that God has given to him, and they're really not nice people. So he has to deal with a crisis. And we looked as a leader deals with a crisis. You've got to have godly people around you. You need to have a strategy, and we talk about prayer as a key part of that, and then you just need to stay close to God and walk with him. That was last week. Everybody goes home again. Then there's another meeting. And today we're going to look at this meeting, final words. You know, when you think about what your final words would be, if you ever have the opportunity to serve people, and you will in your lifetime. And it's interesting, these are Samuel's final words in terms of addressing the nation as a whole. He's going to do some other things, and then he will die later on in this section. But these are his final words. What would you say? What does he feel is important for the nation to know? Now, what's interesting about this is he is probably at least 70 years old. So this country of Israel, the nation of Israel, saw him at age 5 in the temple. He was a young boy. And we looked at that in 1 Samuel, beginning in 1 Samuel chapter 1, but actually 2, 3, 4, and 5. He grew to be the leader of the nation of Israel. They've now watched him for at least 60, maybe 70 years. 60 or 70 years. And when he speaks, let's see what he has to say, and let's see the consistency of his life and what he has done. So what we're going to do is just look at some final words. You know, in the book of Joshua, at the end of the book of Joshua, we have a stroll through a cemetery, where they're strolling through the cemetery and looking at different names on tombstones or headstones. That's one other passage that is similar to this, but his final words are recorded for us. I'm just going to read through these. There's some amazing things that he says. And what I want you to be thinking about is, you know what, at the end of my life, I'm going to come this last statement on your outline. We'll fill it in a little bit. But can I say these things about my life, serving the people God has allowed me to serve? And, you know, you think about a pastor, and this is a pretty humbling passage for me to be teaching because I come up short. I make mistakes. But it's also talking about leaders in a church, maybe at the board level, but it can also be talking about leaders at every level because there's no way a pastor can have the influence that somebody has with a small group, and that is so neat. So if you're involved in any of those things, or a Sunday school class, those are things that you need to be thinking about. Chapter 12, Samuel's farewell speech. Samuel said to all Israel, "I have listened to everything you have said to me and have set a king over you. Now, you have a king as your leader. As for me, I'm an old guy and I'm gray, and my sons are here. I have been your leader from my youth until this day. It's amazing. Probably 70 years at least. Here I stand. So he's addressing the whole nation at this point, as much of it as can gather before him. Testify or say against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed, that would be the rest of the leaders right there, whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Now, we look at this, again, an agricultural society. Those were big, important parts of an agricultural society. Probably I haven't taken many of your donkeys, or I haven't taken any of your oxen. You know, I mean, but if you look at this, you got to get to the principle beyond that. Maybe the third little statement, whom have I cheated? You know, how have I conducted myself before you? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? In other words, take money and ignore something. If I have done any of these, I will make it right. Now, we're not talking about a leader that's there for a couple months, weeks, years, decades, half a century, almost three-quarters of a century. Unbelievable. Let's see what the people say. So he's standing up there, and they can, if you will, take their shot at him. And verse 4, you have not cheated us or oppressed us, they reply. You have not taken anything from anyone's hand. Wow. I mean, is verse 4, just think about that. Samuel said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and also his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand. He is witness, they said. In other words, you haven't found anything that you can convict me of that I have done as your leader. Is that not an amazing statement? What a challenge. What a challenge for anybody living the Christian life. No matter where your walk with God began, at 10 years, 20, 30, 40, wherever it began, for the rest of your life, to live life like Samuel did. All right, think about this. If we're looking at a story, and I love this kind of literature, this is narrative literature, we're just looking at a story, what's he saying that's for us here today, if you look at that? What's he saying? And you can look. I think this is what he's saying, and it may be a little different, but be righteous to the people that you serve. Be righteous. Can you see that? I'm not taking anything. I've not cheated anybody. Be righteous. Huge challenge. Oh. And you just think of your life and being righteous before the people that you serve. I think the hardest thing maybe with people when you are a leader at any level is to be consistent with people. That's really tough to do. You got to try and keep everything consistent that you're dealing with people, and it's hard to do. I think that's one of the more difficult things when you talk about be righteous. If I did it this way with this person, I need to handle it in a similar way based on what the issues are. It's just be righteous to the people that you serve. Could you say this in your workplace? You may not have worked there a year yet, maybe five. Could you say that to the people in your workplace? Wow. Be righteous. Be honorable. Be different. Don't be weird. We talked about, don't be strange. You don't have to be bizarre. But are you righteous to the people that you work with? I mean, I'm trying to bring this analogy to where we're at today and where we work. Could you say this at church? Be righteous to the people you serve. That to the best of your mind and the best of your thinking, that you're honest with everybody. You've tried to deal fairly with everybody. You've tried to follow God. This is an amazing, amazing statement that he makes. And he just stands up there. Anybody want to say something to me? And he may have just stood there. Maybe knowing Samuel, maybe with his head down because he was a humble guy. You know, instead of looking around like, what are you going to say? Or, you know, nothing like that. Just very humble guy. Amazing thing. Be righteous to the people that you serve. Sometimes that's really hard to do. It is. Okay, let's go on. That's enough. I can stop now, can I? We don't need to go any further. That's enough to challenge all of us for a lifetime. Amen? Let's look at a little history lesson now. All right, verse 6. Then Samuel said to the people, It is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your forefathers out of Egypt. Now, what he's going to do is back up here and give them a little history lesson. Now then, stand there, because I am going to confront you with the evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed by the Lord for you and your fathers. So what he's doing now is backing up about 400 years. And he's just saying, let me tell you about God's work. Verse 8, after Jacob entered Egypt, they cried to the Lord for help. And the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your forefathers out of Egypt and settled them in this place. Verse 9, but they forgot the Lord their God. You know, I read through these passages often during the week. Can you do this? If you have, I've got a little place in my Bible at the front. You remember where we have these little squares that we've handed out years ago? And I've showed them to you. Here's in the front of my Bible. Write in that verse, the reference, 1 Samuel 12:9. They forgot the Lord their God. Do not forget God. These are God's people. They're the ones that are supposed to be as close to Him as anyone. They forgot Him. They did their own thing. It's a very, very telling verse. So he sold them into the hand of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and the king of Moab, who fought against them. They cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned, we have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroths, but now deliver us from the hands of our enemies, and we will serve you. Then the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Barak, Jephthah, and Samuel, and he delivered you from the hands of the enemy of your enemies on every side, so that you lived securely. So that you lived securely. God worked in your lives, people of the nation of Israel, but you forgot Him. And when you forgot Him, He sent people to bring you back to Him. Don't forget them. Don't forget what God has done in your life. Okay, so verses 6 through 11 now. Do you think that maybe the key thought is there? Verses 6 through 11. How about this? Do not forget God's deliverance in your life. Do you see that? That's what, you know what? I think the neatest way to teach the Bible is this way. I think that's what that's being said. And while he's telling them that, he's telling us today. Dave, don't forget God's work in your life. Mike, don't. Kathy, don't. Marty, don't. Heather, don't. Don't forget God's work in your life, what he has done. Now, this is kind of an interesting little section. So he's just giving him a history lesson, but the point here is that we have good forgetters, don't we? We have good forgetters. Like I said, we can never even remember Christmas presents last year. Can you even remember Christmas presents this year? We're what, February 3rd, 2nd, 3rd? We have good forgetters. We've got to have these things that help us remind us what God has done. This is more than just a good idea. This is a critical point. It's not a suggestion. He says, don't forget what God has done in your life. Now, let's go to the next statement on your outline here, which says, the importance of memorial stones. Now, it's not here, but in chapter 7, verse 12, we just had a huge battle. This is back now, how many chapters? 5, 6 chapters. And a long time ago, they had this huge battle where the Philistines attacked them. And there's no way, remember they were gathered on Mizpah, they were at the top, and the Philistines were coming from all directions. There's no way. They were going to be slaughtered. And God stepped in and God intervened. Let's look at chapter 7, verse 12. Read this with me. After the battle, and God had worked, and they were running off this hill and chasing the Philistines. What did Samuel do? He didn't chase them. Look what he did. Say this with me. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin, two locations. He named it Ebenezer. This is where this word is. Saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. Now we know in 1 Samuel, here we have the Ebenezer stone. Aren't those crazy words? Yeah, I've got an Ebenezer stone. Well, we need to have Ebenezer stones to remember what God has done. He named it Ebenezer. And there's just chaos around him, and he sets up this stone. You need to do this. And I have taught on this in Joshua. Remember when they came through the river, and they picked up the stones from one side, carried them through, and put them on the other? Same idea. There's only a couple places, again, in the Scriptures, where in these interesting stories that we have this. Thus far, the Lord has helped us because we forget, and you forget, and I forget these things that God has done. All right, so what's my latest stone, my latest Ebenezer stone? It doesn't matter what it is. I think when we've done these lessons, I've brought up all kinds of things. And just to say that, well, I have on my dresser in my room, and I've never used this one. It was from 2001 when I went on my first trip to Russia from this church. I was at a place called Izmalova, which is a fair where you can buy all kinds of artisan things and crafts and whatnot. It's really cool. It's a globe here of the world. Really, what I was saying to God at that point, I was about 41, I think. God, I want to do this 10 times for you. Maybe I'll do it more, but I want to at least go 10 times, and I want to take people with me. Sometimes that works out really well, sometimes it's more difficult, but I want to do that. And so, God, if you'll allow me to go 10 times, I'll go. With the help of a church, with the help of other people, and ultimately taking other people. This is a cool little thing here, and I know you can't hardly see it. But it sits on my dresser, and you can kind of spin it around. That is an Ebenezer stone. Use whatever you have. That is a promise that I said to God, if it would honor you, I'll do it. And so I think when I made that, I think I'm up to number 9 now. I'm not sure. I have to count again. But God, I want to do that because you have told us to do that and because people need to know. People need to hear. And I want to put a memorial stone remembering this. Use whatever you have. Simple, easy stones, rocks. Don't forget the Lord. This is the best way to do it, too. It's not a suggestion. It's a principle. And Samuel says, first of all, you know, I'm righteous before you. Second of all, I want you to know this. I've still got the Ebenezer stone. I'm sure he had it somewhere. I want you to know this, that follow God all the rest of your life. And then what does he say? Finally, beginning in verse 12. Then, we're continuing in the history, and he's going to make, I think, a separate point here. But when you saw Nahash, king of the Ammonites, was moving against you, that was last week, you said to me, no, we want a king to rule over us, even though the Lord your God was your king. Now, here is a king you have chosen, one you have asked for. See, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve and obey him and do not rebel against his commands, and if both you and the king who reigns over you follows the Lord your God, bueno. Isn't that good? Both you, so it's about the people, and your king. But if you do not obey the Lord, and if you rebel against his commands, his hand will be against you as it was against your father. Here's your king. Follow God, all of you. Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. So he asks the Lord to do something on the spot, just to remind the people. Is it not wheat harvest now? Okay, wheat harvest would be summertime. The point of that is that there's no rain. There's not been rain for a while, and you don't harvest wheat, although it is important to have rain. There has not been rain. I can tell you why. That's why this statement is, he's making this point. I will call upon the Lord who will send thunder and rain, and you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king. Then Samuel called upon the Lord, and that same day the Lord sent thunder and rain, so all the people stood in awe of the Lord and of Samuel. The people said to Samuel, pray to the Lord your God for your servants that we will not die, for we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king. Now, it's really interesting. He could have really gone after them at this point. I think Samuel had a huge problem with this. I know he did. And at the point God said, give him a king, you do what God says. And you know, it's amazing how strong Samuel was. He struggled with this. He's still struggling with this in his last speech. Look what he does in verse 20. Do not be afraid. He could have gone after him, but he doesn't. Do not be afraid. That's just age and maturity and wisdom. Samuel replied, "You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord and serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you, because they are useless. For the sake of this great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own." What an amazing statement about God. He could have rejected them easily. He had time and time again, but he doesn't. "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right." You know what? Here's a great verse. This is one known in the Bible, but if you've never seen this, would you write this down? I've also written down 1 Samuel 12:23. "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you." As a leader, you better be praying for people. Samuel says, pray for people. Who's on your list? Who are you praying for in this church? As a leader, you have to be doing that. And every level of leadership has to be doing that. Neat verse, huh? "Far be it from me if I should sin against God by not praying for you." This man had conviction in a number of areas. "But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. Amen. Sit down." Wow. All right. As we look at this, we see, what is Samuel saying? Serve God. Follow him. Pray to him. This is just not a one-day, one-week little program, one-month program. This is all your life. And I believe as we begin about verse 12, all the way through the end, he's saying, run this race to completion. Finish it strong. Don't stop. And the thought I have here on point three is faithfully follow God all of your life. I think there's some minor points in there in addition to that, but he's saying follow God. Stay close to God. Seek him. Don't forget God. Don't forget what he's done. Life is what? It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You've heard it before, but it is. Some of us are starting into the second half, maybe the third quarter. Third half? Somewhere in the fourth quarter? Follow God all your life. And he just stands up there, and as we look at this, I really think that's what he's saying. I just want to restate it a little differently. Faithfully follow God all of your life. Hope you've written down those two verses. Verse 9, don't forget God. Don't forget God. If Samuel could say that, and he does say that to us. And second, his... don't stop praying. I modeled this for you as a leader of your nation. Don't stop praying. Faithfully follow God. At least do these things. Collect memorial stones. That's in here. There's some minor points. But follow God. Do all of these things. Not one thing, all of them. All right. Go to the bottom. All right. What do we need to say? Will you be able to say these things at the end of your life? These things are the three things that you filled in today. This is a challenge for every generation, for every leader, no matter what age, no matter what position, no matter what responsibility. Can you say these things and point towards a life that can say these things? Be righteous. Boy, is that a tough one. Wow. It is. That's so convicting for me to stand up before you and say, be righteous, when I know what I struggle with. And I know what you struggle with, too. Be righteous. Don't forget God. Don't forget him, no matter how tough it gets. Don't forget him. And finally, faithfully follow him all of your life. Faithfully follow him all of your life. Amen? Isn't that cool stuff? I just love stories. And they call it narrative literature. And you just tell a story and you do your best to pull out that principle. And it is just exciting to go through that. So I hope you enjoyed that. Well, is disobedience justified? Is disobedience justified? Saul's not even in this chapter. We are now going to watch Saul, folks. Unfortunately, Saul's going to start. He's actually done some good things, but folks, it's not going to take him long to do this. What did he do that caused this spiraling down effect in his life? What did he do to God? What did God value? What did God want him to do? And he did not do it. Interesting little chapter. If you want to read it before next week, you can probably tell me some amazing things out of it. You can. And it involves a battle, and it involves making sure that certain things are taken care of, and they don't get taken care of, and it's a big deal to God. So we're going to look at some of those things and see what else we can learn. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for just Saul. He's not even in this chapter, but in this section, Lord, thank you for a godly leader like Samuel. And we even know he had faults. Thank you so much that you are a forgiving God. God, give us hearts maybe this morning to be softer, to be more shaped, to be better used by you. Because everybody in this room is a leader. Somebody's helping somebody somewhere. Lord, we just want to be leaders that honor you. Thank you for the example of Saul. And while we don't want to follow it completely, and in fact, in the next couple of weeks, we're not, thank you for the lessons we can learn to avoid. Thank you that we can give, and we do that gratefully, because that's part of following you all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.